it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
In this morning, and Joe, we did a little film study, did we not?
We did.
There are some guys on this team who just get a pass from certain people that are covering it. I just don't think you guys know basketball. And I'm going to explain to you some things this morning. And it might be a ice bucket challenge for some of you because you're going to get doused with reality. Hit me, Carter. Let's go.
You're fired up about this preseason game, man. Oh my goodness, I love it.
Hey, look at here, me. Look me in the eye.
I'm looking
right
at you
here,
in the eyes. The Blues.
We don't know how much longer we got with this.
No.
Okay.
We gotta.
Steph can turn into Trent Williams like that. All right. Who knows?
Don't put that energy on me. This.
I'm just saying.
Season. Come
I'm just
on.
Saying.
That's the chef. He's still
right?
cooking.
So look, I watched that game in the first half. First thing, first takeaway, number six. Hit me with the number six.
Number six.
Number six. It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't like Moses Moody in the starting lineup with the four old guys. Yeah. I don't like that at all. If that's what they're going to roll with, obviously I'm going to give it more time and I'm going to let it play itself out. They have zero athleticism on the perimeter to defend. They have zero people who can blow by their defender offensively and create for others outside of Steph Curry. Jimmy Butler can get to his spots on the floor. I don't like that lineup. I don't like it at all. I know that you want to play defensively, Draymond with Al Horford. Did anyone notice? Did anyone see? You know who was the guy left alone with wide open threes the entire first quarter? Same was Draymond Green.
Mm.
If Draymond Green is not ready to shoot and contribute and be an offensive force, that starting unit of Steph Curry, Moses Moody, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Al Horford will not work.
Well, he was 2 of 3 from beyond the arc, Draymond Green. So I'll give him that. Moses,
Joe, it's not about what you did.
I know.
Efficiency in one game.
I know.
I'm telling you what to look for in the weeks coming ahead.
I'm just communicating. Some people may have missed the game yesterday. So I have to, you know, dot the I's, cross the T's, if you will.
Joe, you have to defend. How is this team going to defend
obviously.
On the perimeter if they've got, and I like Moses Moody. I think he fits somewhere in the puzzle. I don't know if it's in the starting lineup.
They're experimenting, right?
I also don't know if I like Al Horford and Draymond Green starting and playing together.
Spacing. I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
No, it's not just spacing offensively. To me, it's a combo thing. I think it's also defensively. As good as Al Horford is, he is a great kind of sag defender in the middle of the key. He's really smart. He's actually better in terms of closeouts, even though he's shorter and not as long as what you would like in the modern NBA. They have no size and athleticism. How are they going to be battling for rebounds? How are they going to contest shots? I'm telling you, my number one, in terms of number six, takeaway, right off the rip of this game, I don't like the starting five.
888-957-9570. We're doing Shasky's top six takeaways from this preseason game. That could be themes for this season. And if you have any takeaways from yesterday, please, 888-957-9570.
Okay, and again, these are just things I picked up on.
Yeah.
All right, Warrior season is humming.
Oh,
let's go.
I'm fired
Number
up.
Five.
Number five.
Goes right into what I was saying in the first Quentin Post.
QP.
I don't know what to make of him. I'll tell you this, though. Where is the height on this roster? Quentin Post thinks that he's Danilo Gallinari. He's sitting there standing on the three-point line. I don't know what he's doing offensively. Is he just a pick-and-pop guy? Is that all he's? That's not size. They need size.
I got to tell you, one of the more disappointing things I don't think we talked enough about after that playoff run was just QP basically getting iced out and not really doing much. After having some moments in the regular season, I know you you said Brian Cardinal at one point, I think, for Quinton Post. I was very disappointed in the lack of production, and it felt like the lights were too bright for him early on. And there is a place, as you're saying, with Moses Moody on this team, obviously, there's a place, I think, for Quinton Post, but you got to use your size. What was the quote last year that Steve Kerr used
to him? They don't have size.
Well, no, matters.
The quote that Steve Kerr said in regards to Quinton Post, who is 7 feet tall, he said he's not a fake 7-footer. Yeah. Well, it sure seems like he is.
Joe,
if he's not using his size, then what is he doing?
Joe, he's going to get pulled out on defense, out of the key. He does move backwards better. It's one game. He does move backwards better in this year than he did last year. I'm talking about, it's called retreating and being able to still stay in front of your defender and then still be able to contest a shot if a guy stops, pulls up, and tries to elevate. Where's the size on this roster? How are they going to contest shots at the rim? How are they going to be able to get rebounds? Do you see the size and length of the modern player? This kid Kamara for the Blazers?
Alvin?
Kamara is everything I would be looking to acquire right now. I would trade my plethora of wings, and we'll get to that in a second, for him. They lack size. And I don't know where Quinton Post fits into the equation.
Well, you say they lack size, and he is, again, 7 feet tall. Hopefully he could take a step.
Because Joe, not all 7-footers are created equal.
I know, Joe. But Laurie Markkanen
does not play like a 7-footer.
Well, by the way, he's reportedly, according to some in the know, Larry Markkanen could be on the trading block sooner rather than later. Shocker. But I'll say this.
I hate you, Danny Ainge.
You're in agreement with me, though. He did have moments last year that perked up your eyes saying, hey, this guy could be a piece here.
He did, but I think I just don't know where he fits. Which brings me to my next point.
Number four. Let's hit it.
Number four.
Thank you. Whatever that original second unit was, which was Pods, Buddy Hield, Kuminga, Quinton Post, and GP2, throw that in the Recology dumpster bin and don't ever bring it back.
Compost.
You know, I know they all love Gary Payton II, and I'm sure he has a role somewhere. I don't get it. We have enough undersized guys who are one-way players. Pods, are you the point guard of this team, or do you think you are Klay Thompson, where you're going to run to the corner and just stand there and chuck? What? And we'll get to Pods.
Oh,
I hated that original full second unit of GP2, Quinton Post, Kuminga, Gary Payton II, and Buddy Hield. I despised it. They went on a 12-0 run, and I said, where is the ball movement? Where are the threats offensively? What are we doing? Kuminga's taking the ball out of bounds, and Pods is trying to set a screen for Quinton Post? No, Pods, you're the point guard. Quinton Post should be setting a screen for you. What are we doing? And Kuminga, you want to talk about Kuminga is the worst, like the least of the Warriors' problems right now. All you people who think Kuminga doesn't know how to play, you are wrong. I'm sorry. Kuminga's useful. I don't see where GP2 fits this year. I don't. I don't get it. I don't know why they brought him back.
I'm glad you mentioned the Brandon Pajemski angle and all this, because there is a very interesting article. Nick Friedel, The Athletic, who covers the team, just released this one yesterday. It's titled, Brandon Pajemski on Leading Warriors' New Chapter. Quote, they got to leave it with somebody. There are some quotes in here, Warriors fans, that either you're going to love or you're going to hate. And we will be dissecting it, I promise.
The Pods conundrum we will get into. I'll give you a teaser. I think he's a backup point guard. His mind, I don't know what he thinks he is. I'll tell you this. He does work alongside Steph when he is the ball handler, the primary facilitator, and he could pass and move. And when he's out there trying to conduct with the second unit, I thought it was awful, awful. And I look at him and I go, you're my point guard. You're my point guard. You're not Stephon Marbury. You're not Klay Thompson. You're my point guard. Set the offense up. Okay, now it gets me to my next one.
If he's not scoring, and I'll let you get to your next one. If he's not scoring, he's not really giving you defense, and I don't want to hear anything about the charges. I don't want to hear that's elite defense all the time. It's great.
He's not an elite defender at all.
He's not. No. He got exposed in the playoffs.
He comes up way too high, and he's defending non-shooters too high, and he compromises my point of attack defense, which gets everybody into help, and we're scramble mode. The Pods needs a reality check. Straight up. That brings me to number three.
Number three.
Jonathan Kuminga. You're going to look at the stat sheet and you're going to see some turnovers. I'm telling you right now, Jonathan Kuminga made one of the sickest blocks I have seen the Warriors try to pull off in such a long time. Jonathan Kuminga looked best when he was playing alongside Jimmy Butler, and Al Horford. To start the second quarter, I thought the floor opened up when he played along two high IQ passers who understand how to get J.K. the ball in certain spots. I actually thought J.K. passed the ball really well in this one. I thought he had good feel for half-court offense. J.K. is going to help this team. I know we want to run him out of town. I am not selling my J.K. stock just yet. And I'm telling you, him alongside Jimmy Butler and Al Horford, that is the concoction I would ride if I was Steve Kerr.
I've said it. I'll continue to say it. The Warriors at their best, if they want to maximize their potential, Jonathan Kuminga will have to have a place on this team and have to have consistent minutes somewhere. The role, that's going to be evolving. I don't know yet. I don't think Steve Kerr knows yet. He had some comments on the TK podcast, Joe, Odyssey podcast. It was very interesting what he had to say. And I think a lot of Warriors fans, and I heard Steiny getting into it about it yesterday. It's like, oh, here it goes. It's already Steve Kerr already saying, you know, they ought to be patient with JK. You got to be patient. Well, how patient can you be early on if no one else is going to be stepping up from that young bench unit? JK, Pajemski, Moody, you can toss Poston in there if you want. Someone's going to have to step up this year. One of those guys, right? Someone's going to have to. And why not Jonathan Kuminga?
I agree with you, which brings me to my number two point.
Number two.
You got too many redundant parts. I mean, this thing is so crowded. They're showing Anthony Melton on the bench. The guy's in street clothes. And I'm saying to myself, where the hell, how are you going to get him in the game? Moody, Kuminga, GP2, Buddy Hield, Seth Curry, and Melton? Guys, Moody and GP2. And maybe you have to choose amongst Melton, Buddy, and Seth Curry. Maybe it's two of them. I don't know. Maybe you could fit all three. I think you have to execute a trade. I think GP2 and Moody need to be moved for a legitimate four. They are not a four. GP2 is not a four. No. He's not. I know offensively he plays in the dunker spot. He's not a four.
It's too small.
He's not. Moody is not a four. Now, I like Moody. I think Buddy gives me the Moody elements in terms of shooting. I actually think Buddy's rebounding better than Moody right now. I think he's passing better. I think he can dribble a little better. I would trade GP2 and Moses Moody and something else to go get myself a legitimate four. It is too crowded on the wing. Just too crowded. You're making it difficult for Steve Kerr to find combinations that can click because there are too many options to go with.
And you saw juxtapose that with what the Portland Trailblazers rolling out there. Blazers, I'm actually going to be interested in watching this year. I know it's the Blazers. They're probably going to be mid, mediocre, whatever. They got some young talent that has size, youth, athleticism. I kind of care because that's a team that could beat you a couple times this year. I'm not sleeping on the Portland Trail Blazers. They have youth. They have size. They have athleticism. They do. By the way, we're going to be talking to their former head coach a little bit later on today, current assistant head coach with the Warriors, Terry Stotts.
And the last one. I'm going to lead number this to one. Carter. This is the number one takeaway from last night.
The Carter?
Carter, I'm going to let you say it.
I don't know what your number one takeaway was from last night, but I'll give you mine, the effort was just pathetic last night. I'm sorry. The first half, they were walking on a lot of it, and it's just like, look, I get it's a preseason game, but don't ask me to tune in if you're going to walk.
I would argue the second half of that game was worse than an entire second preseason football game.
Damn. At least they won though, right, guys? 51 points, fourth quarter. But at that point, everyone tuned it off. Everyone turned it. No one's watching. No one's watching. Mm. And I get it here. Like, it's how we talk about preseason football. You talk about a drive when it comes to, like, Pearsall and Purdy. Like, after Draymond, Jimmy, Al Horford, Steph Lee, this is. Yeah, okay.
Draymond's in midseason form. Did you see him yelling at the referees?
Yeah, in the first game against the Lakers, he tried to, like, him and Vanderbilt had to be separated from Jonathan Kuminga. First game.
Here's the number.
Three what?
Three more preseason games. That's the number. That's all you got to worry about.
The most important thing, and I love the top five, top six, really.
Bro, I'm
take
fired
place.
Up for the Warriors.
I know you are. The most important thing is no injuries. That's thing. We cannot.
They have to make a trade.
The only way you lose in the preseason, I'll always say this with any sport, is if you get major injuries. That hasn't happened. And that's going to be the thing I'm monitoring going forward, Joe, is the minute allocation for all these guys? Like, that's going to be, I'm very curious because it's preseason right now. What's Jimmy going to be looking like in full season with this team? He played for like not even a half of the season.
Did you see the graphic that came up last night?
Which one?
The graphic that they showed in the second quarter said the last team to start four players who were 35 plus in age was the 2000-2001 Utah Jazz, who won 53 games. Stockton was 39. Malone was 37. Not a chance in hell you get the other two names.
Stockton, Malone, look, thinking back to those Jazz teams.
It's not who you think it is.
I was 7, 8 years old then, 2000, 2001. Jerry Sloan, the head coach.
Thanks.
That's got to take it over the
Thanks.
Top.
Thanks. Probably like, thank you.
He was like 90 years old then, so I don't know. I give up.
Olden Polonese, who I consider a Sacramento King.
Nick who?
And John Starks.
Oh, John Starks.
They started 62 games together, and they won 53 as a squad.
Actually impressive. Jerry Sloan, tip your cap to that head coach. Rest
hey, look,
in peace.
Fitz was in midseason form last night. He was like, you win 53 this year. I mean, you might be the second
seed. Oh, my God. Fitz. I love Fitz.
If I hear top blocking from Kalena Azubuike one more time, dear God, Kalena, stop saying top blocking. Stop with the tornado spin move. Jesus. God.
Shout out to those watching on YouTube.
I can't wait for some of these national broadcasts.
Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low rate
auto
loan.
And the cameras.
Loan.
I mean, NBC, could we upgrade the gosh darn cameras?
Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.